saw this today.
Oh my God. Like you don't know. Devin Campbell.
I think I like the sound quality of this version.
Yeah. Sound quality is awful.
It's awful.
Yeah, I like the sound quality of this.
It's horrible. Yeah, we can go ahead and just start. We don't even need.
Yeah, that one was not.
That was horrendous.
Good at all. I like
that's jamming though.
It's all warbly. Is he underwater?
Like, it sounded like it was played from one of those yellow Walkmans into a laptop.
Yeah, and the batteries.
The yellow waterproof Walkmans. Yeah, that big one. Yeah,
battery's low. It's all wobbly and shit.
Yeah, I don't want to just start with.
Oh, we are gonna now.
Randolph's still looking.
Shit, we're in. I'm looking for a better.
All right.
Oh, you want to?
How's that one sound?
Sounds a lot better.
A little better, yeah.
I mean,
it's actually because I'm using the tambourine.
Yeah.
We're doing it live right now.
Just Liz.
Yeah. Go, Liz. Yeah. When I was a young boy, I had visions of fame. Yeah. They were wild and they were free. And they were blessed with my name. And then I grew older. And I saw what's happened?
I don't know.
All right, fuck it. Hey, what's happening? Can you yell?
Oh, it froze.
Screaming into the. Are you plugged in now? Okay.
Yeah, Randolph Terrence.
Worst DJ ever.
Why are you yelling?
Yeah, I'm Andy Klein, everybody.
Hey, I'm Tim Miller, man. And sitting with us today, we have the very lovely and talented
Liz Mealy.
Thank you. And we have three guys on plus one, and we are here today trying to get through this.
This song is about getting through hardship.
It is.
Oh, we just went through
one. We grew
up
from boys to men. We were just talking about that,
actually. I mean, just playing it was hardship.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah.
Jesus. Somebody posted a live version of it today that I had never seen before.
From back then?
Yeah.
Wow.
Posted on my Facebook. Yeah. Some American Music Awards.
You don't remember this song?
Liz is looking at me like I'm out of my mind.
Liz didn't watch hood movies. You will
know. This is from the Jason's Lyric soundtrack.
Yeah, this is when they would do like a big group of black people.
Yeah.
And then they did Panther, and they did the same thing with a rap song.
Yeah.
And then they had another rap song with all black females.
They did one with all black females. Yeah, they did do that.
Actually, that was a song. It wasn't It wasn't a rap. Yeah.
Do people still do soundtracks? Is that a thing anymore?
I don't know.
I don't think it's a thing.
Them shits used to be huge.
Oh my God. Yeah.
They used to be huge.
Because you could make your own mix like that.
Yeah.
What?
The Menace of Society. I know I'm dating and racially hooding myself, yeah. But the Menace of Society soundtrack,
it's fire.
Probably one of the best ones
it's fire.
Out there.
The Booty Call soundtrack made me like Backstreet Boys.
Okay.
Because of the song they had on the Booty Call soundtrack.
Really? They had a song?
Backstreet Boys got a song on the Booty Call soundtrack.
What was the song?
Back that booty up.
All right, here we go.
You're going to pull it up?
Yeah, let me see.
We played it before.
Was it the one where they sound black?
Tevin Campbell.
They sound insanely black.
Oh, was it Gone with a... I'm talking of
Justin
I'm thinking of NSYNC.
First of all, they weren't called the Backstreet Boys. They were just called Backstreet.
All those groups had one song where they sounded black, and someone was like, wait a minute.
Usually, you know what it is that's their early song. You know what I mean? That's like early in their careers.
And they're trying to figure themselves out.
When they wanted to be black artists, and then some manager got a hold of them and was like, hey, wait a minute.
Well, didn't Ron Perlman?
Lou Pearlman
have all of them?
He had NSYNC and Backstreet.
Yeah.
And then he
got caught
like,
trying to fuck little boys.
Yeah.
Did he?
And cheating on his taxes.
Oh, my
and shit.
God. Yeah. I'm sure. I mean, and plus probably cheating them out of money, too. I mean, I know NSYNC had big issues.
Yeah. This is Backstreet.
Jail. Yeah.
What's it called?
Listen to the music.
What's the song called?
If
You Stay.
What?
This is so 90s.
Yeah, exactly. Booty Call soundtrack.
Oh, my God.
I'm waiting for a little kid to
start. Wait a minute.
Background. In this
so 90s.
Is it in Blackstreet?
Booty Call. It was on the soundtrack.
Oh, okay.
So when I first heard it, I was like, who is this?
They were just called Backstreet then.
Oh, Backstreet, not Backstreet. Blackstreet.
Backstreet Boys.
Which we can't.
But they were just called Backstreet.
Yeah.
And then there was a Puerto Rican version, too.
What?
Barrio Boys.
Barrio Boys?
Barrio Boys. Remember that? Barrio. You don't remember them?
No.
Were they as good as the Burrito Brothers?
I think I was dating a girl at the time who liked.
You have to be dating a girl at a time.
Yeah, that's usually what happens.
Barrio Boys?
I mean, all you have to do is just sound breathy when you sing.
Yeah.
Girl.
Yeah.
Yeah.
When I come to your house.
Like you're fucking while you're singing.
Yeah.
Girl.
Yeah.
A lot of exhaling.
Or do a falsetto.
Yeah. Sounds hot.
It's pretty good. I mean, it's lame.
Yeah. All right, cut. You're not winded enough.
Let's start over.
Stay with me.
Can you go run around the block first?
I need you.
There's Lou's coming in, guys. We're gonna have to show him. We're gonna have to show him our new work.
Lou, you boys get in there and sing for me. Leather jacket on.
Always. Jerking off. He's a little holding
in the studio,
holding a little boy's hand, jerking off. Yeah, we took it there.
We go all the way.
She is like putting her.
Taking her headphones off.
Lose another A. Slowly.
Guys, we're molester shaming right now. Yeah. We shouldn't do that.
Yeah. Is there anybody who can't be shamed?
No, just tack shaming on anything and people will stop doing it.
You know who else he had? He also had. What's the name of. What Donnie. Not Donnie Wahlberg.
Oh, Marky Mark.
Yeah, New Kids on the Block.
But that was Maurice Starr.
No. New Kids wasn't on the Block's manager had
Maurice Starr had New Edition, and then he got New Kids on
that
the Block.
That dirty motherfucker.
Oh.
Maurice Starr's a dirty dude.
You know, weren't they all pretty dirty?
Yeah. I don't want to brag, but I have a New Kids on the Block pink lunchbox that I bought in Tennessee for $2, and it might be my most prized possession.
It's probably worth a lot.
Yeah. I would think.
It's amazing.
Yeah. Does it have the rust on the inside, though?
No, it's a plastic one.
Do you actually use it?
I use all my lunchboxes. I have many.
You just walk around New York with a lunchbox?
No, I keep them in my room and I hold shit in them.
Okay.
I think my nail polish is in it.
Okay, you don't use it for lunch then?
The only lunchbox I use my Mork and Mindy one for selling CDs and stuff.
Okay.
What was the deal of the big fucking thermos in the lunchbox? I never understood that.
Because it's got to insulate.
It's insulate because it's thick.
It's actually not that much space inside.
It's a huge fucking thermos. There's nothing in it.
No.
There's not that much space inside because it's all
insulated. There was no space for snacks in the lunchbox.
Nobody's eating soup?
Yeah, soup. Yeah.
I think the thermos was probably less than 12 ounces.
You hit the fuck out of somebody with that.
That's the thing that's always not there. I can't figure out if people are like, this is the grossest thing I've ever.
This is where they get down right here. Show you. They want you to feel that emotion. If you stay with me, that's emotion right there.
Yeah.
That's emotion right there.
This song is horrid. This is horrid.
I love it.
A different sound than what they came out with. They were like, guys, Back streets,
to me.
Yeah, that's 1 week later. They were singing that shit.
Lou was like, the white girls aren't going to like that.
I'm pretty sure my moves were accurate and I got nothing.
Yeah.
Like,
back, all right.
God, there were a lot of bad songs. Joe was on here. I don't want to be a player.
I don't want to be a player no more.
Silk, feel good.
I don't know that one.
I loved, my favorite was like 311.
Too Short and Lil' Kim?
311.
Call me.
I loved them.
Really?
I loved
them. Oh, you know what I'm thinking of? I'm thinking of 701. I'm thinking of
I like 701.
Stilo. Yeah.
I like 701.
The one girl was from
SWV, Can
Las Vegas. Oh, Can We was good.
That's on the Booty Call soundtrack.
Yep.
Can we get D-Shot by Huckleberry?
Who? What?
Jesus.
What is that? Huckleberry.
Let Me See You by Squirrel.
Squirrel.
Let Me See You, Squirrel. That's that song.
Oh, excuse me. That is Let Me See You, Squirrel.
Yeah.
Let Me See You by Squirrels. Let Me See They
See You, Squirrel.
Couldn't put all the
let
shit
Let Me See You, Squirrel. I can't remember who sang that song. I think it was.
They don't even have the name of the artist.
No. He died, I think.
Turn it up, Andy.
From the Squirrel. Yep.
Let me see you, squirrel. The next song, Uncle D, underneath it, Uncle Luke, Cap D coming.
Oh, wow. Remember that shit?
And then somebody had Dave Chappelle killing them softly.
Hmm.
69 Boys, Let Me Ride That Donkey. 69 Boys, Tootsie Roll. A lot of stripper songs on
a lot of stripper songs.
It's called Booty Call.
It's called,
You
know. Keep it right there,
baby girl, because I like mean,
scrub the ground.
They made a very appropriate.
Scrub the ground on there.
Scrub the ground.
This was a hot song.
Scrub the ground. Let me hear you say scrub the ground.
This was so you could know. Right around we go. Too.
You don't remember that song?
Yeah, Scrub the Ground.
The way you're looking at me?
What is this?
This is that thing you do by.
This is when Puffy was just starting out.
Let me tell you who's on this song that you probably will recognize. This was probably her first song, Missy Elliott.
Really?
She's at the very end.
Because because she was originally like a writer.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's when she started that. That's when she started that whole thing. Or stuff. They had a compound. I don't know who it was, but he had a compound with Timberland, Missy Elliott, Jodeci, this girl, and a few of the acts that we probably...
The smart ones got away.
Either they got away or they... That's what they do. They hoard talent in one place, and then they hey, you go make a song right now. Okay, get in there and make a song.
You hear how this song sounds?
Be creative.
Hear the music of this?
That's 19...
Okay.
That's early
now,
90s.
This is Amir, Why Don't We Fall in Love.
Amir. Oh, well,
of course there's an ad. Remember Amir? She's from D.C. Little black Asian girl.
Amir.
I don't remember Amir at all.
I don't remember Amir. Mm-mm. I remember...
She had that one song, It's Just One Thing.
Oh, I did like that song.
That song.
Oh, It's Just One Thing That Got Me Tripping.
That's her. Yeah, that was like her big hit. But before
she had an album before that. It's not her name. Her name is...
A-M-E-R-I-E. Amir.
Look at that. I thought it was...
A-Marie.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's this song. Why Don't We Fall in Love?
It's the same song.
It's just slower.
The music is just slower.
And the guy that made... No, she had the other song. God, that producer.
Woo!
So many things I'm going horrible
it's the
voice.
Same song.
Yeah. I mean, they just, especially for hip hop, I hate to say it, but they just recycle the same shit over and over.
Every black girl or girl who liked black guys walked around singing this song.
In their head, yeah. Yeah. Why don't we just fall in love, stupid?
Because I don't want to.
That doesn't
matter. Work that way.
It doesn't matter.
Pull up emails.
I remember her.
We got three emails.
That video. Why Don't We Fall in Love soundtrack.
She had on like high school basketball shorts and heels.
It's all body. It's all body. Look at it. It's just all body.
She's walking around the hood. In a
wife beater.
Don't
catcall me.
Oh, okay. You think she deserved to get catcalled because he's walking around?
You're going to. Deserved or not, it's coming. It's coming. She's walking through the thing with booty shorts and high heels on going to a basketball
game. There's a lot of crazy people out there, ladies.
Yeah.
You should be allowed to wear whatever you want.
Should be able to walk around. I mean, if you walk around singing a song, then people...
And then they're going to be like, you are flat.
Yo,
you're flat.
Can you... I mean, put some stank on it. Like.
Yeah. I mean, and we're also starting a basketball game, so either sing the Star Spangled Banner or get the fuck out.
Why are you in the...
Go over there.
Why are you on the court? Is anybody with her? Can somebody get the
girl? Anybody ask her to sing?
Can we go... Like, we want to play now.
Sit
like,
in the stands.
Put on some sneakers and play or shut the fuck up.
Go sit over there. I want to see that video. I want to see the video of her walking around singing for 10 hours.
The outtakes.
And how many people go, what's wrong with you?
Yeah.
You don't even have headphones in your ears. Like, why are you singing out loud?
I'm busking. Are you?
So many things that I want to do.
We got an email from Ashanti, not the singer.
Great.
Hey guys, this is about last week's podcast. I'm writing to apologize for not proofreading my previous email. I'm terribly sorry about that. I don't remember the.
I do. We
don't
remember. I remember. That was the last time I was here.
Number two, Randolph. I'm so sorry I left you out of the greeting. Oh yeah, because she said she didn't say.
That's okay, baby. The greeting is implied.
This is what I get for being in a rush to joke on Tim's poor attendance.
Ah.
Also, I'm sorry, Turnip Seed. You are not a sock puppet stand-in for Tim Miller. You're just Tim Miller now.
That really hurt Tim's. That really hurt his feelings. He wouldn't let that shit go.
I don't think anybody that writes in has said the proper thing. I don't think they've all pretty much dissed me or.
Yeah.
But just go ahead.
She did throw socks. She started the sock puppet movement, though.
Mm-hmm.
And number three, to clarify my question about Empire, in episode 449, Randolph mentioned Empire was a retelling of The Lion in Winter by one of the writers of the show.
Cool,
I was under the impression that Randy heard a podcast featuring one of the writers, and I wanted to know what show that was.
No, I had thought that, and then I just heard somebody say that in passing. Have you watched Empire?
No. Nope.
You've been gone. Empire's.
I haven't watched it.
Empire's doesn't justify the fact that I've seen no show.
Empire's
that
become a
watches.
Black movement because literally what happened while you were gone, and now it's off because the season ended. Empire's become a black movement. It's about a guy who owns a record label and he has three sons and he's trying to decide which of his sons he was going to give the label to.
So you watched all of them?
I've only seen a couple of them. It's good.
You've seen a couple of them.
I've only seen a couple of them, and
I haven't seen any of them.
His wife, Taraji Henson. was in jail. She's out of jail and she's dropped back into the picture. So it's basically the Lion in Winter. It's a king. He needs to decide which of his sons he's going to leave his kingdom to, and his crazy wife that he exiled has now returned. That's all it is. It's just the Lion in Winter. But black people have lost their minds. Most black people like it, but the black intellectual, what word am I looking for?
Intelligentsia?
Intelligentsia, maybe?
Is that a thing?
The word I'm looking for?
I don't know.
I'm not smart enough for this.
Intellectual black people hate it.
They do. What? Because is it like complete ignorance? Okay, good.
It's good.
So I'd love it.
Yeah, it's just a soap opera. It's just a black soap opera.
That has hip hop.
From the hip hop universe. That's all it is.
I don't mind hood shit.
There's nothing wrong with it.
I want it to be shot well. That's my only caveat to hood shit.
Taraji Henson is talking to her son she hasn't seen in 7 years, one of her sons.
Right.
He's holding a pool cue and he's lipping off to her. She takes the pool cue from him and hits him with it like four times. Like whap, whap.
Right.
Whap. I was like, in prison. I can see that.
She's been in prison.
I mean, I've seen Orange is the New Black. I think that's appropriate.
That's the kind of shit they don't like.
I've been in prison. I get out.
That's how you solve problems.
And this is how you treat me, motherfucker.
This is how you. Right.
I'm your mother, number one.
Number two, I've been in prison. Yeah. You should know better.
Where is my cake?
Yeah. You know how you know that's his mother? Because he took it. Because that's what you do when your mom hits you with a pool cue.
You can handle your mom.
You're bigger than her.
That's what's funny about moms is like anytime they do some shit to you, I broke a window. My sister would fuck with me. We got home from church late. And we went in, well, they went in, and I was outside. My sister closed the door. The door was locked, so I'm stuck outside. So I break the window with my fist.
Tim Miller.
Temper. I had temper problems.
I was supposed to wait outside
for my mother to whoop her. Mm-hmm. Well, me punching the window in, my mom came over, gave me a few pops on the face.
Your mom didn't beat the house? Everybody in the house?
She just beat me.
Ooh.
Because number one, I had blood on my hand because you cut yourself.
Right.
Yeah. So she was scared about the blood. And then also, this is me rationalizing getting slapped a couple of times. But at the time, I was like, I probably deserve to get slapped. Because I just broke a window.
I'm surprised
with
she didn't come in and just beat the house.
My mom didn't beat the whole house. My dad beat the house.
Here we go.
My dad beat the house. My dad would whoop my sister.
You should have let him in. Why did you let him in?
My mom whooped whoever did the last thing. My dad would come in and whoop me for breaking it, and then he said, "Well, what the fuck did you do?" Then he'd whoop her.
Yeah,
that's how my dad
whooped the house. And Liz is looking shocked. That's a house whooping. Like everybody in the house,
everybody. Yeah,
he's getting it.
Just getting ransacked.
We never got hit. We had things thrown at us. It's funny how that's like my whole level. Like it's. You weren't physically touched, but people would be like, did she have good aim? I was like, she played softball. She knew what she was doing, and they were hard. Occasionally, she would get something that she couldn't throw, like something lopsided, like something that like was like to clean something.
That would tumble back.
Yeah, and she wouldn't get the accuracy, but she had a plate or a bowl, she had accuracy.
Sheesh.
Yeah, you get the whole house get a whooping.
My mom used to punch cabinets, almost all her cabinets.
Yeah, everybody in this house, everything, everyone. Where's the dog? Because I'm kicking the dog.
Everything
is getting whooped.
But so did they ask the question, or did they just go, everybody in this room so I can whoop you all accordingly?
Something like that.
Where they ask
somebody
you what,
locking somebody out and then a window being broken.
Right.
Everybody in the house now gets whooped. Because if you hadn't locked them out, he wouldn't have broke the window.
Yeah.
So both y'all getting y'all's asses kicked.
Right.
And I'm kicking the dog just because the dog watched.
We didn't have a dog.
You know, something crazy like that.
They would get a neighbor's dog.
Yeah, but just kick the neighbor's dog's ass.
Find the dog.
Yeah.
Stand in.
Yeah.
We didn't have a dog then.
And this is why we can't have nice dogs.
Yeah, right. This is why we can't have nice dogs.
Killing them, Mom.
Can't have nice windows.
I just behaved myself. I don't know you guys.
Here we go.
You know what's funny? I'm known as the good kid.
Yeah. So was I.
Between
I
me
was
and
the,
my sister.
I was the reader.
I was
going
to say that is funny.
I'm known as the good kid.
I was the reader, and I still got my ass kicked.
Yeah.
I had a temper.
I had a shitty temper. So I was always on the end of... I was always the last thing that happened.
Yeah, I had too much imagination.
Sister would do something, I'd punch her.
The last thing you want to have in a black family is a lot of imagination.
Oh, fuck that. You crazy? What? You don't believe in... Which is funny because they believe
you start,
in... They go to
start
church.
Saying stuff that's outside
the greatest
outside the norm. start saying stuff to not, or you can come up with good lies that they might believe.
My favorite is this happens all the time. Like this Tim Randy tangent.
Yeah.
And then Andy just
lets us go. I'm proofreading the emails.
Let's just go.
Yeah. Just wait. I mean, like.
This is what makes us a black podcast. We're a black podcast.
I'll take a back
seat. We're a black podcast. This is what does it. There's a whole black podcast underground. And
we're somewhat black, guys.
Yeah. I mean, my mom says that I'm white.
My mom told me, my father.
I'm like the Lou Pearlman of this podcast.
We have a Sicilian grandfather. What's the next
grandfather?
We got an email from Paul.
It explains your Moorish skin. Moorish meaning black.
Yeah. Paul says, hey, Three Guys On, like so many others, I found your show through the Black Guy Who Tips, and now it's at the top of my list alongside Rod and Karen.
Shout out
to Rod and Karen.
Rod.
I'm writing regarding your discussion on Ari Shaffir and the comic he insulted.
Here we go. Wait a minute. What? Oh, you guys talked about it. I was going
to
say.
That's not even out yet.
How did you hear that?
Yeah.
It's funny that
y'all talked about that, too.
Miller Lives.
Yeah. Because I was thinking of that story. I was like, this would be perfect for the podcast.
Yeah.
That's one hashtag we want to have is Tim Miller Listens.
Yeah. I do listen, though. That's the funny thing. I do listen.
He looks down when he says it, guys.
Is it because...
He wants to see what song we open with. Yeah. I'm writing...
Another Kendrick Lamar song. Oh, shit. I got a bone to pick.
Paul says, I used to listen to Ari's podcast and found a lot of his takes funny. I stopped listening to his podcast and a few others, such as Adam Carolla's, because although funny, they often went into areas that I could only describe as unnecessarily mean. Their style of, what are you, pussy, Paul?
Yeah. Come on, Paul. Suck it up.
Suck up, bitch.
Suck it up. Yeah. Get to the labs.
And then Andy gets mean.
Yeah.
I love it.
Get to the labs.
That's to come.
Just zip through.
Their style of comedy just isn't for me anymore, and it was pretty easy to just stop downloading their podcasts and find replacements. On the one hand, I expect that most people are like me and stop at not downloading podcasts or going to see comedians they don't like. On the other hand, I'm not one of those people to always say that calling for a boycott is out of hand. This type of economic threat has been very successful in the past and has a growing role now, as you don't have to be a giant corporation to take matters into your own hands. I know you guys have your hands full when deciding if a joke is too offensive. Usually the audience decides.
No, it's just makes the decision. We don't.
But I think the audience is sophisticated enough to go along with you as long as we know it's coming from a place of love. Maybe paraphrasing Todd Glass here. Well, I have to hand it to you guys, as you managed to pull out a fresh podcast twice a week and are surely growing in popularity. Surely.
Surely.
I hope that you guys continue your rise and as soon you'll be making money hand over fist. So do we.
Your mouth to God's ears.
So do we, Paul.
But that's what I find interesting.
We can figure that out. I actually don't agree.
I mean, if it's...
Excuse me.
When it comes to comedy, it makes me really sad that it's this... I understand that there's some... responsibility because you're a public figure. Mm-hmm. But if it's coming from a place of comedy and the person has done the work and you don't agree with it, then you don't support that comic and it's over. But to then blow them up and try to destroy them, mm-hmm. it doesn't make sense to me. There's a lot of comics that I think are ignorant or just not very talented or whatever. And the idea of trying to blow up their spot to hurt them makes you no better than them.
But you're sensible minded. There's so many of our brethren,
yeah,
who and it's always the fucking the liberal fucking douchebag that I hate, who you want to go after people because they say things that you don't like, or they bash people that you don't like, or just don't listen to them.
But yeah. You know what's funny?
It's so easy to not listen to people. I'm gonna not say his name
because it makes a point to not say his name. There's a comic that he spews the sexist, racist, every horrible thing you can think of, mm-hmm. and he gets in the paper.
Jim Gaffigan.
Yeah,
of course.
He gets his name out there because people hate him so much, but he just keeps growing and growing because every time somebody talks about him, he gets more publicity,
yeah.
and then
yeah.
those people can find the people that do yeah. like that bullshit find him.
Lisa Lampanelli, like,
and that. he just grows and grows and grows. And I say every time he's in the paper, don't share it, don't say your opinion on it, stop discussing it because that's what squashes the fire.
Right.
By talking about it and building it and have more blogs pick it up, that's how it becomes viral. That's how more people know him, and that's how they gain popularity.
This is nothing earth-shattering.
But expressing your outrage, though.
This doesn't impact the society.
Expressing your outrage is not often about the target of your outrage. Often it's about you feeling like, I'm on the right side of something. It's your ego, you stroking your own ego and saying, look how wonderful I am because I hate the bad thing. And you make a lot of noise, not for really pure motives.
Yeah.
So a lot of Facebook is just...
But then,
how many likes can I get?
But you know? But you know what's so interesting is, like, you know how you ever see, like, a bad movie and then they come out with, they already got picked up for a second one, and it's only because everybody bought tickets.
Go see it because it's bad. I hate that.
But not even that they hate it. If they don't even know that it's bad, everybody bought the tickets, and what gets you another sell for another one is the tickets that were spent. Yeah. Not the fact that people then reviewed
it and said it was horrible.
Yeah. Right. So it's the same idea that as you pass, somebody might look at a blog that says, you know, whatever, Trevor Noah said this, and it gets passed along, so now they know he's an important enough figure that anything we say about him is going to get us clicks.
Yeah.
So we should say shit about him.
Yeah.
So it's the same idea that it doesn't actually matter what's said; shit gets spread, and that's how people talk about it.
They kind of, but they kind of need that though. The people that are doing the people that went back and tried to find him, they did need that to happen. Otherwise, what would they have been outraged about, quote unquote?
But there's no reason to be.
I'm outraged.
They sought it out.
Like, what do you need to be outraged about?
Yeah. What do you?
Like,
why? What are you outraged?
And that's the thing.
If you're
in a group that needs to be outraged, then that's what you talk about.
Yeah. The question you ask yourself when you review anything, if you're in that group, is, should I be mad? Like, that's you're always kind of evaluating something as whether you should be mad about it, as opposed to whether it's good or bad or indifferent. You're indifferent to it or ambivalent to it. So people who are seeking outrage are always filtering it through, am I mad? Or it's like thumbs up, thumbs down, like the emperor.
But it's also like that mad. It's like, to me, like here's a good example. Like the whole catcalling video that went viral.
Right.
I think it makes sense. I think there's people that are going to think it's bullshit. There's people that are not going to agree. But for the people that do agree, the thing that bothered me about the catcalling video is you go to the website and they did the first part amazing. Get the awareness out there. They did an incredible job. But then to stifle the problem or fix the problem and then to start a movement, it's all bullshit. The website's disorganized. You don't know why they're fundraising money. You don't know what the money's going to. You don't know how they're going to solve the problem. Right. And it starts to be...
First of all, they're not.
Money for catcalling.
That's the thing.
But that's what I'm saying. And it comes from a good place, but the rest trickles down to a place where they weren't ready for what they did right.
What
so the same idea
do?
Happens... But that's the same idea. But what I'm saying, the same idea when you get notoriety. Okay, let's do the Tracy Morgan. Like Tracy Morgan saying the stuff about if his kid was ever gay, whatever.
Yeah, exactly.
You blast that. You put him on the spotlight. You make him feel bad. But then what do you do with that information?
Nothing.
And that's the bullshit.
I feel
that's
good
just
that
the
I made
outcry
you feel bad.
To be outcried.
Yeah, that's it.
And it's like, that's where it gets angering because it's like, he's allowed to say whatever he wants. You're allowed to disagree. But then to then just do it so you ruin someone's career. You want NBC to get rid of him?
Yes.
Why?
Yes.
What does that prove?
Because they win.
Because
it's,
I won.
It's
but that
the,
doesn't
it's
check
the
you. Really cared, if you really cared.
No, no.
Exactly. If you really cared, you would go, you know what? He has some beliefs that he grew up as a 40-something-year-old man to have these beliefs, and the problem is people being raised with these beliefs, and we need to start not with Tracy Morgan, with the people we actually can change and start working on those beliefs. But they don't want to do that.
The
they want to ostracize people,
the people
and they want to ruin
in their lives. Yeah.
They want to ruin people's lives instead of going, okay, not to say that he's a lost cause, but the truth of the matter is you're not going to change most people that don't want to be changed.
No.
Change the people that it could actually make a difference.
Exactly. Yeah. Well, but they don't want to do, they don't, first of all, if they did that, they wouldn't get any notoriety.
No,
the girl that went after, and it's always like some small thing. The girl that went after Dave Chappelle when he showed up to Meltdown.
Oh yeah, that was so dumb.
The girl that went after Stephen Colbert. Like so basically everybody in your life that's talked shit about Asians you've handled.
Yeah,
so now you need to go for the, you know what I mean? So they have to go for somebody
while
of
that
a certain level.
Makes me mad. The Suey Parks of the world. She's one of the pair. While that person makes me mad, the person who defends her, when you know she's saying bullshit,
right,
particularly if it's a comedian, nothing makes me madder than someone who calls himself a comedian saying, I had it back and forth with somebody about it. I was like,
and what are they trying to do?
It's clearly a sarcastic thing.
Right.
You know it's sarcastic.
You get the joke.
Well, I understand satire. Well, obviously you don't.
You can't understand it and also feel that way.
And also feel that way about it. That's anti-ethical. They can't go together. If you understand it, then you can't be mad at it.
But everybody has their...
If you don't understand it, and I've explained to you what the joke is,
right.
Now your madness disappears, but the minute it's explained and the madness, they won't let the madness disappear.
Oh yeah, because now they're in the spotlight and nobody wants to say.
I have to hold on to.
Yeah, they can't say exactly. They can't say like, you know what? Maybe I was maybe I
jumped the gun on this.
Because it's about the win. It's about getting that W. It's not about anything else. And that's why, like the catcalling video, they're like, let's make a viral video. Let's get clicks, and then it. Then we got to form a movement around it.
Yeah, no, let's stop catcalling.
No, and they did a good job. How? But the truth of the matter is a real movement knows what the next steps are.
Yeah. Right.
So if you're going to have I think the gay community has done an incredible job. You know what I mean? Because they're saying it's a multi-level situation.
Black community used to do the same thing.
Exactly, because it's not just you know what I mean? It's not just gay bashing. It's not just, you know what I mean? There's multiple levels to any kind of ignorance and any kind of shaming or ostracizing of a people. So you have to start from the layers, and you have to show them in every layer how you can be better, and then be an example about it.
Mm-hmm. Right. But it depends on what your motivation is.
Absolutely.
Because if your motivation is just winning this week on the internet, which I think is a lot of it. I think it's a lot of it is just the ego stroke, the high you get from attention, positive attention, likes, mm-hmm. and favorites, and all that, and it's, for a lot of people, it's just because then there was a guy who did a video after that where it turned out to be fake. They went up to people in L.A. and this girl was like acting drunk. The guys tried to take her home and have sex with her, and they told the guys to say that, like, oh, we're filming a sketch. You want to be in our sketch? But then the guy did it to just get a viral video out there. He wasn't trying to stop catcalling or creepy behavior.
Yeah.
And but after that, like, oh, well, let's make a website. How can we sustain it? They didn't have a plan.
Yeah. Well, with the catcalling, they did do a good job, because what most people don't know is that when I have a dude next to me, a friend, a brother, a boyfriend, you don't see 99% of what I go through as a girl. It's as soon as you're alone or there's some distance, like your boyfriend's on his phone a half a block away, that's when you...
Talking to his girl.
Yeah, talking to his mistress, that you see that... So I think in some ways it did a great job of just giving awareness and people being like, oh, I didn't know it. But then there's always the ignorant dude that's just like, also, I've never seen that, so it's never
happened. Apparently only black guys do it.
Yeah,
according to that video, that video said.
But that's
only black guys.
Well, that video didn't say that.
And here's the funny part.
The video did say it, but it didn't say that. But it did say that, but it didn't say.
But here's
the
funny part.
But at the same time, they're not editing it. You know what I mean?
No, I'm not saying that.
They're just showing you the reality of New York City.
They went to one.
The loudest dudes are the black dudes.
Yeah, they went to a spot and they did it. So no, go to Bensonhurst.
She didn't go to a spot. She went all over New York City.
I only saw the one. The ones we saw were literally Harlem. Harlem, and more.
But here's the problem. The problem is that most people, women, I would say, that do get the women's, that do get hit on, they say that black men are the more aggressive types.
Yeah, we're aggressive, period.
In that video, they didn't show, they show one white guy. But she, they went to,
that's what he said.
They went to, instead of the one dude who's like, oh, look what I just found, $1,000.
Yeah. And by the way, so we're raising money to stop catcalling. How do you stop that guy?
You don't stop.
That old brother.
But that's where the fundraising.
Sold me $1,000.
That's where the fundraising can be completely endless. Because how are you going to stop catcalling? Are you
going to stop? But
the awareness is out there. And
the awareness is out there.
It's been out there. The people that are going to do it.
Yes, but then that goes back. Then you're going to assume that if people are homophobic, they're just homophobic, and that's what it is. I think there's some education.
They are, and I believe that they are.
They are.
No, but again, you start from the bottom up. Okay, so then you're going to
start from the bottoms,
now we're here.
Start from the bottom, and now we're here.
You're talking about catching a young kid and educating a young kid, and
just like all the rape problems, you have all these dudes in colleges fucking raping people and thinking that there's nothing wrong with it. That's an educational problem. Yeah.
Thinking that it's not rape.
Thinking that it's not rape because oh no, she fell out. She wanted it. It's like, well, no, she didn't.
No, she
actually.
Didn't.
She. Well, you're not. You didn't give her a chance.
Looking at
you didn't give her a chance to choose.
Talking about them. But they're lost causes. You're talking about some young kid in elementary school.
No, but I don't believe everybody's a lost cause. I think, you know what I mean? Like, even if you look at somebody that's 60 and saying ignorant stuff, is their likelihood to change less likely? Absolutely. Mm-hmm. But if you don't put that information out there in a way that's digestible to a 60-year-old man, then it's you didn't even try. So the same idea that you have to talk to people at their level, at on their wavelength, in a way that is digestible. And comedy is usually the way to do it.
You know what I feel about, like, let's say a 60-year-old racist man? I don't give a fuck. I'm not trying to save you.
Yeah.
I don't give a fuck about you.
But what if that really dude don't. Is making politics? You want to change that.
But those are the
guys. If you're making politics,
they
I don't
are.
Want you in charge. that's all.
The problem. They
go
are.
Away.
But they
they're
are, racist. Randy.
They are in charge. And
but I'm not
never...
trying to change you because you're not going to change. Your mindset is, I'm bad.
And,
no,
and
how about
fuck you.
You.
And those
you
dudes aren't going anywhere.
But that's the other thing is if you talk to them on a level that they can digest, these dudes have families.
Yeah.
These people
but
have things that they care about.
Why
the reason...
isn't it coming upon me to make you feel good about me?
I don't. I'm saying.
What I'm, saying?
I'm not saying it's fair. But
it's
I am
it's not about being fair. I'm saying why isn't it incumbent upon me? I don't want to put that kind of effort in
because he's not going to do it on his own. Because he
exactly.
He's not going
to. And I don't
want to
put.
Wrong.
I don't want to put
it's
the effort
take
in
somebody,
anymore.
It's going to take somebody either
put
close
effort,
to him or somebody
exactly.
that he respects
I've
to
put
do
put
it.
The effort in.
Absolutely.
But I don't want to put that effort. In. I also
problem,
don't want to be the one. You know, you're the good one. I don't want to be that.
My problem. My problem with the
tired of it. That's dismissive.
My problem is just like she said. Like you go to the website. Basically, what's the next step? There
yeah.
is no next step.
There is
the
no
next step is
yeah,
that
the next
now
step?
We get all this money, from this video. Yeah. That there is a problem.
Yeah.
I've seen it.
Yeah. So what do we
what
do?
What dude has not seen another dude yell at a woman and then look at you for like confirmation? Like right?
Yeah.
Like
no,
I'm not with you. I would
no.
I would maybe walk up to her or like if I saw her somewhere else say something. But not walking by her on the street.
Dude,
that's ridiculous.
The scariest is when it's like early in the morning, like I'll be going somewhere at 6 a.m. and they're catcalling you at 6 a.m. You're like, dude, it's give it a break.
No.
Jesus.
Those don't dudes, turn off.
Those dudes are out there early morning.
I don't even have my coffee yet.
And
like, let's go get a coffee.
This will wake you up.
Yo,
I got something that'll wake you up.
Let's go get some
maybe,
coffee, ho.
Yeah. Maybe you'll get your run in first.
Yeah.
You don't even need that coffee.
Oh, you running? You already sweat.
You already
sweat.
You already sweat. You don't need to run, girl. What you running around for?
Shit.
You guys those all sound dudes. Like Wanda Sykes impression of dudes.
Exactly.
Just like a spot.
She's
I'm
a
like,
good impressionist.
Oh, she's so good.
You don't need to come on. Hey, girl.
Hey, girl. What
girl,
you doing
your name?
Over there?
Wanda. Wanda.
Wanda.
Wanda, if you're going to get
Wanda.
Me that drink later on.
Yep. I'm drink man.
First of all, that's my uncle. And
yeah. She has.
I have stood next to him in the club like, come on, Uncle Lee, stop.
Yes. I got it. I had a family. I had friends. Yeah. Just walk up to women and just say the worst shit, and I'm just sitting there, like,
stop, please,
too good, man.
We got another one.
Just doesn't like you.
We got another one. Thanks for that email, Paul.
Thank you, Paul. Thank you.
Is that
stay with us?
Yeah. From he's Booker. Or Booker.
You can do better, Paul.
That's old school. Booker.
Booker might be the last name.
Booker T.
Booker might be the last
Booker.
Name.
Booker.
I like Booker.
It's old school.
Booker says, I'm a big fan of the show. Thanks to the Black Guy Who Dips podcast. Once again, shout out.
Once again, shout out.
Dizam.
Podcasts help me through my daily commute. The comedy, music, and discussion on your show entertain me. When the show is over, it's like, damn, I can't wait for the next episode. The rotating cast of sock puppets to fill in for hashtag Tim or Liz.
Telling you, baby. We
are all great. Special shout out to Haywood and the Yardy Jamaican Romaine.
Yeah.
Episode 454. He says, I got a chuckle when Randolph mentioned the angry Jamaican guy on the hook for Black of the Berry.
Yep.
The artist.
That song sets it off. That dude sets it off.
That dude, man.
The artist is a dance hall star.
What's his name?
By the name of Agent Sasko, a.k.a. Assassin.
Yeah.
If memory serves me correctly, he was also on the Kanye West track before. On
before.
A Kanye West track before.
Oh, the Mercy?
He didn't say he's a pretty talented artist, but yeah, his voice definitely gives off the anger vibe.
Ooh,
Agent Sasko, and he gives us a link.
Fight makes you want to flip makes a table,
flip something.
Before I end the email, I wanted to get your thoughts on Jason Whitlock helming his own website under the ESPN banner. It's supposed to be the Black Grantland, whatever that
well.
Is supposed to mean.
He's not doing good.
And he sent us a link to Agent Sasko, which I'll play.
Who's this? Jason Whitlock.
Jason
what's
Whitlock.
Yeah, he's not.
I don't know that whole thing. Not trying to be nobody, be yourself.
Don't trick yourself, don't fool yourself. Not try again. Liz, sit down and stop dancing.
Liz just started twerking.
Yeah, of course.
I do like this though. I like this shit.
Song's called like, Born So.
Sounds like Capleton. Or Capion. Capleton.
I don't really have faith in Jason Whitlock helming a website like
Neither
that.
Neither do I. Who is Jason Whitlock? He's a writer.
He's a columnist. He criticizes black people a lot.
Oh, because he's black.
A lot.
He's black. People kind of look at him as... I've heard him referred to as Uncle Ruckus.
See, you just got a shot.
He's one of those dudes.
Yeah.
This is the shit.
The song is called Born So by Agent Sasko.
Hey, she's in Seattle.
This is the shit, man. I have pictures right now of a slum in Kingston, Jamaica right now. And he just walking around singing. And nobody catcalling.
Hear your thoughts on one thing before you leave. So,
all right, we're looking at each other's phones.
Yeah, well, Liz has to bounce, so we got to do one thing.
Okay.
So that article came out about black. You leave that on because this music will go right in. About black comedians in comedy.
Uh oh, coming out to music.
Yeah.
White guys do too.
It's in there.
Oh, sharp, sensitive, and surreal new wave of black male comedians.
Oh, okay. I get it.
I read the whole article. It's about the. It's by a guy named Alex Chung. Jung? J-U-N-G.
Could be Young.
Young, could be. Basically, it's this thing saying that there's all these nerd black comedians.
Nerd? I'm a nerd.
Nerdy.
And, like, you know, a couple of the names, it's like...
I'm different.
Yes, I'm different.
Is your boom, tablet boom, playing a song
boom,
right now?
Yeah, boom, it's... Boom, boom, boom.
Something else is on here. I'm awkward. I'm a nerd.
So yes. I'm a little socially awkward. So he named, awkward. Like, the Lucas Brothers.
I'm not like the other ones.
But the Lucas Brothers in here, a guy named Kevin Barnett. I don't know him.
I know Kevin.
Kevin.
Yeah. Barnett, he's New
Yorker. Very funny. I don't see him as nerdy.
Marina, no. Not nerdy.
Marina Franklin?
She's not nerdy.
This article definitely.
So you're just naming black people
it's
that people
funny
know?
Very much. You know, it's funny how they aren't hood. Yeah.
But Marina, that's
how
so
they
different.
Put Marina.
Because Kevin, I would not. Kevin it does talk about pop culture. He might talk about dinosaurs, but this doesn't make him nerdy.
Right. No, he's not nerdy. I've seen clips of him. He's not nerdy.
Even the Lucas Brothers, I wouldn't go off as nerdy.
Maybe hipstery.
Yeah, I would go with that. Mm-hmm. Or even just young.
Young, right.
You know what I mean?
Baron
like
Vaughn, Eric Andre.
Non-threatening.
Non-threatening is what they're looking for.
That's really, yeah. I mean, which is what you, the only black people that get through the system.
And also, yeah. The
honestly.
Other, the, yeah. And also, the other thing is.
If you got glasses and you're non-threatening, you are in commercials
you have a beard.
Right now.
Yeah. Yeah. And you don't have material that is like, hey, white people, remember all that bullshit y'all was doing?
No, but to me, half of those don't come across as nerdy. They come off as first of all, who they are. Why can't they just be who they are? But they're younger. They're not cursing left and right. They're not BET.
They're not
it's less of a problem. Like you, I think you
but
talk
why,
about.
But that's also the idea that like. Yeah, now we're letting in a different version of black people, and there's different outlets for different types of voices in the black community,
also
not just one.
They also named Jermaine Fowler.
And the industry
is black.
Not a nerd.
Yeah, he's
black
not a nerd.
Male
not
nerd comedians are now
Jermaine is a little bit of a nerd.
White alternative comedy scene. They reflect the tenor
of
the space.
Is? It's
conversational
it's black
at times
people
aggressive.
Who black comics who white people like.
Exactly.
Here's the other part of it, too. A lot of those comics are in the industry already, so they're going to be pushed. It's like anytime those lists come out, it's like, oh, the
yeah,
comics
already
to
know,
watch.
You already
look at the names.
Know
look at the people that they're naming.
You know who's going to be
Wyatt
on the list.
Wyatt Cenac, Michael Che,
exactly.
Eric Andre, W. Kamau Bell.
Right. They're in the industry already.
They're naming all these people.
Hannibal
but Kamau has a problem with the white alt scene, and he's very loudly vocal about the racism
but
in the white
but that's somebody
alt
that doesn't do their
not,
research at all. Yeah. They Google, a couple pictures come up, they write their names down.
Also, nerd is like the hot thing. So like anytime you want to say I like something, it's
there
like...
There is real nerd, like you know, like Michael Lawrence, not black, but he... Mike Lawrence.
He was just here.
That's yeah.
You just hung out with him last week. He's funny.
He's great. He that
nerdy
is
nerdy or not, he's fucking funny.
Exactly. But he would
sell him.
No, but he would also accept that label.
Of course.
He's had those experiences both before comedy and during comedy that being into WWE and being into comic books has led me to be labeled this nerdy thing, and I accept it.
Well, yeah.
But half those people wouldn't accept that label. Not to say that you have to accept what other people give you, but though to me, it's
Jermaine
I mean,
wouldn't.
No, I mean, some of it is somebody that might not curse, somebody right. that might talk about pop culture more, somebody that might be more monotone. Like
they try to put them in.
Speaking of people
half
not
of these
doing,
seem like a grab bag of people that all just seem to be black.
Not, listen, this about saying.
Not doing their, I'm saying, not
these
doing their research.
Threatening.
This is this one about David not doing their research. This is what he says about Dave Chappelle. Most of these comics cut their teeth, meaning all the comics you just named. This is what this guy's writing. Outside of black comedy clubs, which historically have favored a certain kind of verve, canonical black stand-ups like Richard
it's kind
Pryor,
of a sneak diss
Eddie
right there.
Murphy, Chris yep. Rock, and now he's very much a diss.
That's kind
and
of a sneak
now
diss
Kevin
right
Hart
there.
Emerged in the mainstream after working in these rooms. Dave Chappelle is something of a stylistic hybrid. After not finding much luck in black rooms,
what?
What?
Okay. So
what?
So he spent much of his early years.
So this
years
dude has
white
legitimately.
Rooms, but eventually, he got to the point where he could play everywhere from Def Comedy Jam to alternative.
That's none of that's
not
true.
He was on Def
true.
Jam at 18.
That's not true.
Right.
The fuck?
So but Andy would know because Andy was here working in the same black rooms that Dave Chappelle was.
And he had already moved away.
Right.
From.
It's not true.
He moved
true.
Away at 92.
Started at 14. Yeah.
You know.
I mean, that's the kind of stuff where you literally have done no research.
You have
talked
to know.
To nobody.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Especially
yeah.
because when somebody has come up to me after a show and said, who are the people that are working in the female community in comedy? Or who are the, you know what I mean? Who are the guys that you like watch? Whatever. That's somebody that's in it and right. you're asking their opinion. This is somebody that Googled some shit, mm-hmm. knew some shit because these people have been famous for a while and then just said
here's
shit.
Here's what he Googled.
Yeah. He talked to
here's
people
he
and he put Phoebe in.
He Googled that Chappelle.
Phoebe's not a nerd.
Phoebe Robinson.
Chappelle was, he went to the Apollo when he was like 16, 17. He got booed. So that's now the no success in black rooms.
Yeah. Right.
Even though he did Def Jam at 18.
Lauryn Hill got booed at the Apollo.
Yeah, at 13.
Yep.
And then Dave Chappelle found success in white rooms, meaning he moved to New York and got past all the clubs, which, by the way, are sometimes fairly mixed.
Yeah.
And he can walk into any room.
But he's also famous.
Yeah, he's also yeah, but
he's
even
been
before
famous,
he was famous
since he's been famous since he was
since
18.
He was 18.
And
he's
his act is very unabashedly black.
Right.
he
doesn't cater to white people.
At all. At all. His act is unabashedly black.
Yeah.
So what I didn't like what the only reason I even saw this was because a lot of black comics who let's say have a problem playing black rooms started putting this all around. I'm like, it has nothing to do. Look,
did they read it?
They read it, but they don't read it the way we read it. You see what I'm saying?
They're
like
saying,
when I see you say Chappelle doesn't play in a black room, I'm like, this article's stupid.
Well, they read it as someone like me.
Marina Franklin is not a nerd. I don't know what the fuck you're talking about.
It's just it's not about nerd. It's they're reading it as someone like me now maybe has a shot because
yeah.
for a long time the black comic on the TV show was a specific archetype.
But there's always been that divide. There's mm-hmm. always been that divide between I think the black rooms, the ones that are going to be more nitty gritty, the ones that are going to kind of be more edgy. Whether you're black or white, you better fucking have a bunch of like hard hitting
right.
jokes. Whether you curse, whether you talk
early.
About sex, whatever it
confidence.
Is,
have to be
you,
real.
You have to. You need. You have to have so yeah, confident. Like you just have to throw that out there.
Right,
now
yeah.
in the whiter room, I think you have to be.
You can be weird.
You can be weird, but even more than weird, both of them, you have to be funny. I think you have to know who you are in a different way. And you can take people on a journey. You don't have time to take people on a journey in the black rooms.
Well, in the white room, I think
no.
I think you
it's
can.
It's funny though.
You They're can. You can
too.
Be. You can.
They are
forgiving.
In the white room, you can be
true.
the guy who doesn't know who he is. That
yeah.
can be like, well, you're like, I don't know who I am. And in the black room, it's more like you have to sort of be self-assured.
Yeah.
And that's the difference. But so white people going to the black room can't do the whole I'm weird and I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know doesn't fly.
But a black room,
go to a white room,
you
and
have,
still be assertive.
I feel like in a black room, you have one voice. You have one option. Not the same voice, but it's the same. It's filtered the same way. Rather, in a white room or even a diverse room, there can be different modes. There can
yeah.
be different options. Not to say any is better than the other, but a less strong comic can't handle a black room.
Right.
The thing about a black room, I think, is like you have to be just like a white room too, but you have to they have to trust you. So if you say, okay, you can't come up with a story, you can't have stories, you can't have like
You
pauses.
You have to earn it. Yeah.
Look, you gotta really earn it. I got my ass kicked in black rooms for 4 years, every Tuesday
and it
night
happens.
For 4 years straight.
Yeah. And it happens. 2 weeks, 4 years
just straight, and I went back every
I
night
actually,
to hammer
I actually,
my ass kicked.
It's weird.
It
I mean,
is what
it
is.
Makes you stronger,
where,
though. Like,
it
I started
here,
in black rooms.
San Antonio, Texas.
San Antonio, right.
On the east side of San Antonio, across right. them fucking railroad tracks,
yep.
every Tuesday night, and it was, I dreaded driving out there, but I was like, fuck it, I'm going, and this was
it makes you stronger, though.
30 just to get in.
You know what's funny?
Black people.
These are older black
who
people
who are there
right.
to kick it. And what's, sometimes you won, sometimes you got your ass.
What's
kicked.
Funny? When I first started doing comedy around here, I was doing black rooms or more black rooms. I would just like you said, I was dreading going to perform mm-hmm. there. I was like, if I don't do well, like if I don't do well now, then you know, like oh shit.
You know what's great about
my Tyson story didn't work. But I've been trying to work on that
that's
shit for
story.
A week, for like
good,
2 weeks now.
That's a good story.
It's been last week bombed twice. Like, ugh. But
story.
But
you
I did
toss it and just start talking about it on the podcast.
But
that's a good story.
But I did it and nothing happened after. You do that shit in the black room, I might get stabbed after that shit. Tacoma Park.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They started a new room Tacoma Park like a few years ago, and I would go there. Some dude got he got shot.
Murked
the
up.
DJ yeah. got shot after
up.
The show because he was like, "Hey man, leave him." He got on the mic and was like, "Leave the comics alone, man." Some dude was like, "Nigga, my name is 70 pounds. You know why? Cause I roll with 70 pounds, nigga." Of dope.
This show is weird.
Yeah. I did Haywood's.
There's a
spot.
Different. There's a different like code.
I did Haywood's spot. Haywood
Solis.
He does it two nights a week or two times a month
right.
every other Tuesday. But then on the off nights, it's a hip hop room.
Yeah.
Where acts come in, local hip hop acts come in. Very hood.
I hope there isn't a
on the fifth Thursday, on the fifth Tuesday, they put the shows
pounds.
Together.
Oh Jesus.
Oh
yeah.
My God.
So it'll be people do two songs, then a comedian, then two comedians, then two songs, two comedians. I did that.
That sounds
all weird. Hood black folks.
Wow.
Tuesday night. Danny Charnley did it with me.
He raps.
Yeah, he got him. He did rap. That's how he got him.
Yeah.
And I was like, that's the smartest shit you could have done.
White guy.
Because he got up. And by the way, these guys rapping are good. They're not ignorant. They're good. We were in the back having a great time listening to them. Because if they'd
right.
been sorry, I could have talked about them. But they were so good. I was like, I can't talk about them.
Is that white girl still rapping?
Yeah, no.
A tall white girl?
It was just a couple of brothers.
Okay.
And Charlie got him. He rapped a little bit, and then he did some jokes, and then I went up after him. And afterwards, he was like, "Your act, man. I was like, at first you weren't doing good, and I thought, oh, he's just doing his good. But then you were just killing." I was like, "Well, I've been doing this long as
wait.
You,
yeah,
man.
Yeah.
And I know the rhythms to play.
You gotta, yeah,
with all these black people, you just don't know the rhythms to play yet.
Yeah,
you'll figure it out.
You gotta wade through a little
just
bit of shit
get to the
clear water.
Yeah.
What I've noticed in black rooms is that you can call them on their shit, and they appreciate it. Right. Rather than like
yeah.
you can call the room and you can bring them back because you can bring them in rather than like when it's a white room and you're not doing one, you call them on it. You've just made it more awkward.
Yeah.
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 But I've rescued myself in some black rooms where I'm like, I know what's happening. I get what's going down.
Right.
Yeah. I've said that to white people and they just get mad. And they just go like,
he's onto us.
Well, then leave.
Yeah.
Whereas black people go, brother, we do your thing, man.
Yeah, no, you're trying.
Do your thing.
You're trying.
Shit. We all in with white people. You go.
Well, look at it this way. If you get heckled in a black room and you handle it well, that crowd loves the shit
yeah,
out of you.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm.
But that energy, that whatever, that swag, whatever you have, that handles hecklers. If you just do your set with that same confidence, that's you're gonna be fine. So
yeah.
It's that sort of thing. It's like you have to just go up there with that sort of mentality. Where like I'm just gonna own this, even though I'm not being heckled. I'm just gonna own
yeah.
this the way I would if I was being heckled.
Absolutely.
And the crowd's like, oh, we get it. Yeah.
That was one of the first things I gained because I kind of started in black rooms. Is the first compliments I got were confidence. You seem
yeah.
very confident, which is another way of saying your jokes aren't good, but
yeah.
you seem like you
yeah.
think they
you're
are.
Selling the shit out of them.
You know who told me that? DeJuan told me that. First night I went up.
You're selling the shit out of them.
Yeah. Wiseacres Comedy Club.
Yeah, like, you don't know that you shouldn't feel that good about yourself.
I did that joke about going to therapy in the black with all the black people.
Mm-hmm.
And they... I started in, because black people, we don't go to therapy.
No.
That's part of the joke.
Yeah.
We don't go
we
to therapy. And I said, brown liquor. And this brother goes, yup, brown liquor. And I was like, exactly.
Yeah, it's church.
You know, I was like, yeah, exactly. You know, and you just go in and do the bits. And what I don't like, I remember a couple of comedians, local comedians, I'm not going to say no names, a couple of local comedians on a podcast had done a black show, and the black audience didn't receive them, and it was the black audience's fault. I'm like, is it? Or maybe it's just that they didn't think you were funny.
Yeah, and I mean,
have
and
you
it's
thought about that?
And it's okay. That's not your
they
audience.
They didn't think you were funny. And that's that.
Or you just haven't done, like, you have to learn the audience. You have to figure out how to play an audience.
You have to figure out how to play any audience, and then eventually you get to choose your audience. Or your audience comes
to you.
Your audience
comes to you.
Wherever you feel comfortable.
What I did, look, when I get up in front of black people, I fucking, it feels better to me, I guess, when I make black people laugh. It just does. When we did the nudist colony.
Yeah.
And the chef came out to watch.
Yeah.
And after the show, you were the one who noticed. She was like, hey, I came out and watched.
Yeah.
Like, And then afterwards, she was like, hey, you funny, man. Yeah. That felt better to me than the naked white guy standing in front of me.
I mean, anybody clothed felt great.
He was so great. It was just different. He dabbed me up. He was like, man, that was some good show. I was like, I said, why aren't you naked, brother? He was like, come on, man.
I'm in the kitchen, man. I'm making bacon back here, brother. Can't be all naked around.
Liz has got to bounce. Say goodbye to people.
Thanks for having
Thank you so much for having
us.
Absolutely.
We're going to
take a short.
Are we going to pause?
Y'all won't hear the pause, but we'll hear the pause. I got
to
pee.
We don't even have to tell them that. We can just go like.
Well, I like letting the people know. I don't mind.
We're all peeing and leaving.
Yes.
I'm getting drinks.
Yes. Thank you so much for joining us
thanks
as always, Liz Mealy. You know, you're always welcome anytime.
At Liz Mealy on Twitter.
At Liz Mealy.
We got to bring you back for some work shortly.
So I would
like
that.
Things coming.
I have a nephew that I need to watch. Okay.
I saw a picture of a little
he's
cute boy.
So cute.
How old is he now?
9 months.
Okay.
Yeah.
He's pulling up.
He's wiggling.
He was standing.
He uses his face as a third arm to pull himself up. So he bites your pant leg and then pulls himself up. But sometimes he doesn't even need it.
I don't think they're supposed to do that.
Yeah, no shit. I don't know. He's very cat-like. He takes a lot of naps and he bites a lot. Yeah.
I don't think
but he's a cutie.
I like the nap thing.
Yeah, the nap.
Wonderful.
But yeah.
So yeah, we definitely need to, you know, you got a spot. So it's not, you know, off mic. Off mic. Say goodbye to the people. They love Liz Mealy.
Oh, thanks for having me, guys. You guys are fun.
Thank you. Always. And we're going to break and we'll be right back, people. Are we good? Hey, everybody. The very funny, our buddy Liz. Liz, you just left and we're back. Picking up the black nerds and comedy. I just...
Well, they're not nerds.
They're not. The people that they name aren't.
Well, but look.
The shit that you bring up is not.
A lot of the... but this is just... It's a lot of the white nerd comedy isn't nerds either.
It's not.
So it's just the same shit.
It's just a group
it's
of people.
It's like when Patton
like
Oswalt wrote that thing about alt comics. I'm like, you all claim Patton. He don't claim y'all. He's just a comic, you know?
But he likes comic books.
Yeah. Oh, he likes comic books. So therefore, I like comic books. I'm not that deep in the game. If I want to know something, I go ask Jimmy Merritt. I know who to go to.
If you talked about it more, you'd be a nerd.
Yeah, well,
nerd.
If you just absolutely love it. But don't we all? I'm a nerd about photography.
There you go.
Like a ridiculous nerd about
there
photography.
There you go. I mean, I like comics. I like
comic books. I'd probably read them if I had time.
Not on that level of, I don't even know what's just between just liking something and being a nerd.
Nothing. It's
exactly.
Just the word. It's just the word now for I'm a big fan.
Yeah.
It's just the word meaning changed.
Exactly. Did y'all see the thing that the Kentucky player said that people are trying to get on?
Yeah.
Yeah. Why the Kentucky player? Why? It's just the same thing over and over again.
It's so stupid.
Who's becoming popular now?
Oh, you got it. I don't even know if does it pick up.
You can kind of hear.
Let's try to get him in trouble by saying what he said. Can you believe what he said? It's like, and he plays for Kentucky. Yeah,
I can't believe
it. Like, yeah, I fucking believe it.
Yeah, I can't believe it.
I think he knows the guy, and he was saying like kind of like half joking. He made an apology.
I wouldn't. Yeah, well,
of course. Yeah,
Andrew Harrison.
Right
after the game. They interview him.
Which game? Mike. Wisconsin?
Yeah, after the game last night.
Oh, he lost when they lost?
After the Wisconsin-Kentucky game. Yeah, last night to us when we were recording.
Mm-hmm.
Let's see if we can hear it.
I don't know, because it was so low.
What do you say, niggers?
Yeah.
I wonder if you could talk about Kaminsky and what makes him so difficult to defend and what, if anything, is unique about defending him, things he does.
What did he say? I didn't hear.
Running back.
That nigga's fast.
He's, hold on.
Don't tell me.
I wonder if you could talk about Kaminsky and what makes him so difficult to defend and what, if anything, is unique about defending him. I wonder if you could talk about Kaminsky and what makes him so difficult to defend and what, if anything, is unique.
Fuck
about
that, dude. Fuck that.
N-word. It's right after the word difficult.
I wonder if you could talk about Kaminsky and what makes him so difficult to defend and what, if anything, is unique about defending
him. He said fuck
that. He was under his breath. He wasn't the one being asked the question. He was under his breath.
But his mic was out.
Kaminsky is like a, you know, he's like player of the year and he's Wisconsin's best player. And,
oh, so this kid is black, but the Wisconsin kid is white.
White.
But he didn't say, oh, okay, he didn't mean a racial thing by it. He just said, fuck that.
It's like
the way you say it on the court.
It's like, dude.
Yeah,
how he said it.
Fuck that. I'm a dunking on that dude, man. Fuck that. He elbowed me.
And what, if anything,
oh, I hear now. Fuck that nigga. Fuck that.
And then he said, oh, my God, after that.
He did?
Yeah.
Who did?
The same dude. So you can hear that a little bit. So then he posts an apology. He says, first, I want to apologize for my poor choice of words used in jest toward a player I respect and know.
Apology somebody wrote for him, probably.
That was a Twitter. I respect and know. When I realized how this could be perceived, I immediately called Big Frank to apologize and let him know I don't mean any disrespect. We had a good conversation, and I wished him good luck
Frank
in the championship
knows,
game
Frank
Monday.
Frank knows what it is.
Frank
Kaminsky,
the player for Wisconsin.
Frank knows
what it is.
Like, yeah, man, it's just trying to use
Frank has played around. Frank's played around enough brothers. He knows.
Yeah, but
what
do
it
we
is.
Know what rap lyrics this guy listened to first?
Yeah, well, that's important.
Because we got to blame rap lyrics
that's
on
important.
This. He's plays for Kentucky.
If he hadn't been listening to rap, then.
I wonder if you could talk about Kaminsky and what makes him so difficult to defend and what, if anything, is unique about
it's louder and louder.
He does.
For Carl?
That is right
so,
after the word difficult.
That is so Kaminsky playground.
It's right after the word difficult. And he's got his hands over his mouth, too.
Kaminsky and what makes him so difficult to defend and. And what, if anything, is unique about defending him?
You can see it. He's the one with his hands over his mouth with the wide shot.
You can talk about Kaminsky and what makes him so difficult to defend and what, if anything, is unique about
it's louder and louder now. It's so funny. I was like, because you know why? Because all the black reporters were like, yeah.
What? Who said that? Who said that?
Yeah, you're right. Oh, we're supposed to be upset? Okay.
Yeah, no one was sure if there's anyone who should be offended by that.
Yeah.
But he just came out with the apology anyway. He seems to know the guy.
Yeah.
So I mean, they probably played together like AAU. They crossed paths.
I heard some reporters talking about today over on the way over here. Some white reporters, and they were like,
"Of course,
I don't know why anybody would be upset about this."
Ban that word.
He said, "I don't know why anybody would be upset about this." That's literally how the conversation went between these two DJs. We're like,
should we be offended? Should we? I don't know. Should we? Let's think about this. Hold on. But maybe.
Fuck that nigga.
I mean, if someone said, fuck that cracker, I mean, that would be an outrage.
I'd be upset.
That's the way they want to go with it.
Man, fuck that cracker.
I heard Danny Roy.
The guy is white. Had he said, fuck that cracker, I bet people would be more angry.
Probably.
They try to be.
Yeah, they would.
Probably.
They would
it's like, really?
But you know,
do you get upset
you know
when you hear
thing?
That word?
Black people don't say cracker. We keep saying this. We don't really say
I've
that.
I've heard Chris Rock say crack ass cracker.
Yeah. He's saying it to make a point. That's a good. It's a good joke to use in a bit.
Fuck that crack. Fuck that.
It's a good
honky.
Joke. It's a good use of word in a bit. But
honky really.
In regular life, no one uses that anymore.
Honky really didn't have much of a heyday either.
Peckerwood. Peckerwood is pretty good. I like Peckerwood.
Fuck that Peckerwood.
That Peckerwood, man.
That'd be funny. He just starts.
Fuck that old. Fuck that old Fay.
Did
he just say old Fay?
Yeah. Fuck that old Fay. Oh my God.
That's right up. That's right up there when you say, you see the fast dude. And that white boy's fast. That one.
White boy's fast.
And when you put white in front of somebody's name, that
white
is
boy.
White Mike right
there. White Mike.
Yeah.
White Mike. You know Mike. White Mike. Oh
white
yeah.
Mike. Okay. Oh, I thought you meant Big Mike. No, there's always a big too.
Oh, white Mike.
Yeah.
You can't say little anymore because there's 8,000 of them.
Yeah.
Man, fuck white Mike.
Somebody has said that when white Mike dunked on him. Man, fuck white Mike.
Fuck little white Mike.
You talking about Mike that dunked on you? Yeah. He put his nuts in your face. How'd that feel?
Dick and nuts all in you.
How did that feel? Tell me how that felt.
Man, fuck white
fuck
Mike.
White Mike.
Fuck that nigga white Mike.
Fuck white Mike. Fucking your sister later. Hey, man.
Look here, man. Don't be disrespecting.
Did y'all see something just popped into my head and shit went out.
Was it about race? Was it about... Because this is the Black Podcast.
I think it was.
Yeah, it is.
You know, George Lopez has put a tour together, the Black and Brown
what?
Comedy tour.
Black and Brown?
He did a thing. I heard him talking about it on Tom Joyner's morning show. I saw it advertised. It's coming here. DL. No, Cedric, George Lopez, Mike Epps. A couple other people.
It's going to be like Kings of Comedy level.
Yeah, people on that level.
Yeah.
But it was they saw each other. They were doing a tribute for Richard Pryor at his birthday. And George Lopez was like, all these comics really talked about how they've been influenced by Richard Pryor. Mike is playing him in the movie. So why don't we put a show together and go out together?
Right.
It's never been done before.
Mm-hmm.
They were like, oh, okay.
So, hey, let's make a lot of money, guys.
Yeah, basically.
Say?
Hey, all right. Okay. Hey, I'm not rich enough. I mean, I got a lot of money, but
George Lopez is very open about
it. Let me go ahead and make some moment.
How much Richard Pryor is one of his biggest influences, if not the biggest. He's been a big influence for all of us. You know, speaking of nerds.
Yeah.
You know.
Comedy nerds. We're all comedy nerds.
Yeah.
Best special of... That was the best special for a while, American one? Mexican.
JL Kovan aside, I mean, I like George Lopez.
I don't really like George Lopez.
I can see
you
that.
Don't like
I
mean,
if you don't like him, that's fine.
I think
like
it's a lot of the bits are basically white people do this, Latino people do this, black people do this, Latino people do this. It's like that's the same fucking, and a lot of, remember when you were growing up, things were different?
Yeah, like nostalgia.
I get it. Toys needed batteries. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I get it.
Man, fuck that black and brown tour.
Fuck that tour, man.
Black and brown niggas.
Fuck that tour.
I like the bits he does about his grandmother being racist.
Is the logo for the tour?
He
like,
called out Mexican people, and they were just looking at him like, "Should we clap?"
I don't think there is a logo for the tour.
It should be black beans and brown beans.
I think it's just
called chicken and tortillas. Chicken and tortillas.
Black beans and pinto beans. It's like you're at Chipotle.
Chicken and tortillas.
Yeah, the black and brown.
Yeah.
That would be pretty funny. Put a tortilla right next to a drumstick.
Just a big black eyed pea. It's black and brown.
It has to be fried. Right next fried to a drumstick.
Yeah. That wouldn't be controversial at all.
Not at all.
Oh, but I can't say they eat chicken?
No, you can't.
Oh, that's unfair, man.
Are black eyed peas healthy?
Any kind of
not the music.
Any kind of legume can be healthy for you.
No, it's just
jelly beans.
Jelly beans, very healthy.
Speaking of Easter,
jelly beans,
very healthy. Very healthy.
You know what? It's Thursday. Jelly beans are probably like 50% off right now.
Oh, every time I do it all the time.
Dog,
I get some. We get like 9 bags.
I tried to take my daughter to a Easter egg hunt yesterday.
Oh, she's too young.
She
didn't take her for the picture. She's too young.
We didn't make it out there.
She's too young. Don't do that.
Well, no, they had different ages. They had.
Oh, okay.
It's mostly for us. But
she get on the Easter Bunny's lap.
What's that?
Did she get on the Easter Bunny's lap, or was that the goal to get like a?
No,
her
it was
Easter
out in a field with different ages of kids. She didn't give a shit about the eggs.
Don't care.
Man, fuck them eggs.
I wanted it. It was more for me at that point. I was like, I don't have any fucking eggs.
There's no reason.
And other parents walking around, little kids had like Easter baskets with eggs in them, and I'm like, you little, I ought to take your eggs.
Yeah, mine went yesterday.
That's the only reason.
She went to an Easter egg hunt.
Yeah, she's seven. Six. You yeah, know, seven.
We started sending around three. I think three.
Yeah.
She could like go get them herself.
It was a last
and
minute.
I didn't have to do nothing.
Last minute plan. Yeah, because I would have been finding the fucking eggs.
Yeah.
She doesn't walk. I have to like move her. I have to like hold her hand. Hands. She was holding my hand tight yesterday. Yeah.
She's
like,
scared.
Because she's scared.
Around all those people.
She's around all those people, and she's you know, she's taking little steps, and then she'll find a piece of dirt outside, of course. But it's a bigger piece of dirt, so she's like, she pick it up, and then,
and you got a fan.
And then, of course, it goes, it almost go, and I'd have to do the thing, and then other parents are like, why are you hitting a child? It's Easter.
I was hitting the dirt.
I
was hitting the dirt out of her hand.
Man, fuck that dirt.
Get the
fuck that dirt.
Fuck these parents out here, man.
I'm telling you, dude, I don't talk to other parents.
I fucking hate them, man.
I fucking hate them. Just keep my headphones on. I look straight ahead.
Just don't look at me with your judging eyes, man. Yeah. Do your shit with your kid. I'm going to do my shit with my kid. I'm just out here for the fucking green and the dirt.
But if I see a parent doing what I think is fucking up, I just stare at them. Just
I don't even do that.
Just tell all the other parents, like, oh, she has measles, and they'll stay away from
you. Yeah, they'll fucking avoid you.
Fuck that measles.
Fuck chicken pox,
man. I'm gonna avoid you.
Fuck chicken pox, man. Shit.
If you take a kid to an Easter egg hunt and they don't find any eggs, did someone just give them eggs?
Oh, they put the eggs out. Okay. There's no way your child
there's
can't
no
find
hunting.
Eggs.
It's all out. Right there.
You just got to get to them first.
There was one girl, though.
We didn't get a chance.
See, we didn't get a chance to make it to ours. They had different levels, right? So two, like I think one to two, they had their little run. They had it all sectioned off.
Yeah.
Ages three and four, they did their run. By the time we got there, seven and eight was doing their run. Seven and eight was doing their run. So I go over there. I take the baby with me, and we're, you know, she's watching the big kids. I'm like, those big kids, they're going to be, you know, knock you over, whatever. They go out there, one little girl. It was the saddest shit.
Oh.
All the other kids was getting eggs and feeling bad, and she was just looking at them like, I'm never going to get
it. Well, here's
I took a picture of her.
At seven.
It was the saddest shit.
Crying.
I took a picture of her, like, isolated, focus-wise, like, with her up front, looking back at her mom, like, what do I do? Her mom was like, African, get out there, Israel. Get out there. Knock him down. Get the egg from him there.
It was so sad. At seven, eight... They need to know some agony of defeat.
Damn,
they gotta start learning
that
agony
little girl,
of defeat,
man.
They gotta learn the thrill of victory, and they gotta learn the agony of defeat.
She wasn't crying; she just felt defeated. She was just
standing
there.
The thrill of victory.
She was just sitting there, like, I'm not getting any.
The agony of defeat.
I don't give a shit about these eggs. Then
they gotta learn. They gotta learn. 7-8 is time.
Man, fuck these eggs.
I remember when I was like,
fuck these 7-8. Fuck these eggs, man. I ain't even no eggs, nigga. These is fucking plastic shells with jelly beans and shit in them, man.
Fuck these 70-year-old.
Fuck these eggs, man.
I was, when I was in first grade, I think it was first grade, we had an Easter egg hunt at our school. You know, elementary school, we had just out in the field or whatever by the school.
Mm-hmm.
And they actually hid the eggs. It was hidden. But, I mean, like they were like, go, and then all these kids started. I remember me and this other kid were just, we weren't really into it. We were just like talking or kind of walking around. We weren't really looking
you,
for
You, Andy,
eggs.
Not into it? You?
Wasn't into it. Wasn't into it. We were kind of looking for eggs. We weren't really looking. Like, if we saw an egg, we wouldn't run to it. Like, by the time we got to it, someone else would have gotten
Somebody
it.
Somebody else would have ran over.
We were just like, whatever.
Competitive
and,
kids.
And at the end, like, everyone had eggs, but like me and this other kid.
Right.
And we didn't have any eggs. And we were just like ambivalent. We were like, whatever. You know? Yeah. Then the teacher was like, oh, you didn't get any eggs? And we didn't find them.
Well, let me ask you this before you finish. Yeah. Were they real eggs?
No. They were the plastic,
brightly
colored eggs.
Right, okay.
With like a jelly bean inside.
With shit inside them. Yeah.
And the teacher was like, oh, you get any eggs? And I remember, I don't know about what the other guy said. I was like, no, whatever. And she felt bad. So she went and got an egg from like some of the other kids. A few eggs and came and gave them to us, which was more embarrassing than not finding any eggs.
Yeah.
Because you could own not finding. It's like, I wasn't looking for eggs. I was just hanging out. It was recess for me.
Yeah.
But now she's like making a big production, like, oh, you guys, can they have one of your eggs? And I'm like, don't do that.
I'm going to give it to Andrew.
Andrew.
Over there.
They need some eggs. Oh, Jesus Christ.
Yeah, fuck this teacher, man.
Fuck this teacher, man. This bitch probably ain't got kids. That's why she feel all bad about
this
shit.
Teacher, man.
I don't want no eggs, bitch.
She smells bad.
I don't want no eggs. She smells bad.
That's like rotten eggs.
Rotten eggs.
Fuck these eggs.
Does she smell bad, really?
No, I don't remember. I don't remember what she smelled like.
Which means she did.
She probably smelled bad. She's a woman. They
I
all
don't
smell.
Remember.
Of course they do.
When you're that age, all girls smell.
They attract bears.
I don't remember having they attract bears. I don't remember having any Easter egg thing for school. All of my Easter egg experience was with work. I'm sorry, with church.
Yeah.
Growing up. And we had we were one of the big church in Waco. And we would have our church was a building that used to be a supermarket.
Yeah.
And then our church moved in after that shit. So we had all of this space. And then
giant
on the side.
Church.
Yeah, ridiculous mega church. And then on the side of the building was like parts and stuff. And then they said, well, let's have the Easter egg hunt over there around all these old parts and shit. Like all of these old, like, dilapidated tires and shit. That is the scariest shit in the world. And we're in dress clothes, riding through. Like one kid was like going down kind of a hill, so he was kind of rolling down a hill in a tire. He got all wet and shit. He got a whooping, of course, after that.
The whole park got whooped.
The whole No.
Why y'all let him do that?
Why y'all? Why, what were you at? That's my dad's like, you better answer this question right or you getting a whooping too. Like, where were you at when I was, I didn't see him doing it. I saw him at the end. I'm like, all right.
All right.
Yeah. Let's go to McDonald's. That's, yeah.
They got eggs.
I almost got a whooping right there. They got eggs.
Why did you see it?
Why come you, where were you at? What were you doing?
Why didn't you stop him?
How come you ain't stopping? Because they get yelled at by the parent. Church is so funny. It was like a political game. Yeah. All the parents were deacon. My dad was a deacon, and then he went up to preacher. And then the deacons and the preachers, they didn't, like, talk.
Yeah.
Well, they talked, but it wasn't like, you ain't preaching yet, man? Like, you know, you haven't had a revival or you haven't had a, what's it called? What's it called where you go?
Revelation.
Different nights. No, it's you say revival.
Revival is different nights.
Yeah, you get a week at the church.
Solid at church.
Yeah, and you get all the money.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's just like comedy.
Solid.
That's the funny thing about comedy to me. It's the same shit. It's the same. You get booked to headline church. Like
I did 1 week, but I had an Easter egg roll in the junkyard.
Yeah,
and they didn't bring me back after that. It's fucked up, man.
Yep.
Open up the egg. There's a tetanus shot inside.
Man, fuck that tetanus.
Man, fuck that. What is tetanus anyway? I don't know. You told me this shit. That was a shot.
Fuck diphtheria, man.
Oh
fuck
my god.
Shit,
oh, I should say, oh my god, at a church. Use his name. Man, fuck. Jesus. Fuck using his name in vain. Oh my god.
Fuck holy water, man. Fuck. It's bullshit, man. Just water.
Where are we at?
116. 115. 116.
Yeah, I think we can bring this one home.
Wrap it up.
Unless y'all want to talk about the guy who threw the banana peel on Dave Chappelle.
I mean, yeah. What's the? We don't like it.
He thought a joker could take a joke. I should have got his ass kicked.
He got kicked out. He got arrested for a battery or whatever. Good. Yeah, or assault. Yeah.
Yeah. But who wins? Like, you can't beat up that dude. He's not going to learn a lesson. He's just going to get beat up. And then he's going to be like, black people ain't shit.
I just don't get the whole
I can get a rise out of him.
Pay to see Dave Chappelle. And then,
while carrying a banana.
Well, his friend, Dave Chappelle started making fun of his friend who was drawing something at the time.
Right.
And so he started picking on these two guys. Like, why would you go see Dave Chappelle? You can draw any time of your life.
Yeah.
You're seeing a show. You paid money for this ticket.
So right off the bat, his one friend has a pad with a pencil.
Something. Yeah, something noticeable.
And he has a banana.
Yeah.
At least one.
What is there? What are you doing?
Yeah, that he ate at some point. Now he has the peel.
Yeah.
He threw the peel.
What are you doing?
Why are you at this show?
You're at a show.
That's a legitimate question.
With a pad and I always carry a pad and a banana.
Yeah, that is
friend,
very strange.
My friend draws. He draws bowls of fruit, and then I eat the fruit. So it's the symbiotic relationship we got going here.
Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
And then you decide I'm going to throw my banana peel at him, hoping that nobody else in the audience gets mad.
Right.
You know, right. My little cousin Terrell, Troy's brother, put up a thing saying he went to see Chappelle. He said the show was real good until some woman started shouting shit out at him.
Yep.
Some drunk woman, and they kicked her out, her and her boyfriend. I'm like, audiences need to stop these. Audiences need to police themselves. Audiences need to do that.
I don't think that works.
Sometimes they do.
Sometimes they do. I've seen them tell people to shut up and get the fuck out. I've seen them do that.
I try to do that.
Yeah, I've seen audiences do it, and I've seen it work.
If it's a big enough room. I tried to do it at the Bill Burr show.
Yeah.
We were sitting behind that lady. You kept yelling shit at him. I was like, bitch, shut the fuck up.
Yeah.
And then, but at the same time, as a comic, you kind of go like, well, maybe he wants to handle it.
Hey, you don't want to deal with it. You don't want to deal with it. I don't want to deal with it. We'll deal with it because we know how, but we don't want to. I don't want to deal with this. Some girl shouting shit out at me.
Yeah, I don't want to take the fire from him, though, because he may have wanted to.
You know, I want you fucking gone.
Yeah. Can you shut the fuck up?
Period.
I literally said, can you shut the fuck up?
Clubs let the shit go too long. Theaters have ushers. Ushers just be on them.
Yeah.
Yeah. Sir? Sir?
I'm sorry, exactly. Sir. You're going to have to stop.
You stop or
you stop it right now or you get out right now.
Sir?
They would do that if there was a play on stage. They wouldn't even think about it.
And you feel like a child. That's how the fuck you're acting.
Yeah.
Don't talk to me like that. You're acting like a fucking baby.
Yeah.
So you get the fuck out.
That's why I'm talking to you like this.
Yeah.
Stand your ass up and get the fuck out.
People literally yell at you and they sound like children.
Yeah.
While you're...
Why are you talking?
Why are you? That's what I was like, they do the thing. Talking? They do the thing where they think they're in the dark, and you kind of don't see them. So they'll say something, and then you go, what? What'd you say?
Yeah.
They're like, no, it wasn't me. Like, I was looking right
I'm
at you.
I'm looking at you when you said it.
I can see you, kind of, but I know where it came from.
Yeah.
And then they get quiet.
Like, I saw Mike Yard challenge a guy to a fight. Mike Yard, somebody was lipping off to him. Mike told him point blank, hey, look, man, I can fight. So,
I mean, I can be funny too.
Do you want this to
be funny? We can be funny or we can fight, dude.
Because I can fight. If you want to go outside and fight, I'm fine with that after the show.
Right.
If not, shut your mouth.
Right. meet me in the parking lot at 10 p.m.
Yeah. After the show. You know, and then dude, shut up. Mm-hmm. Guys will usually shut up, but girls?
Alcohol.
No, there's
people
no
don't
way,
perceive
girl.
Situations properly with alcohol.
Right. They don't. They think, oh, I'm helping. Like, no.
No.
Yeah. No, you're not helping.
No. And I don't need your help.
Yeah.
Right.
I've been doing this for a while.
It's not a duet.
I know what I'm doing.
This is the first time I've met you. Yeah. I've been doing this for a while. I would have known you by now.
You don't need to make the show.
I would have needed
better.
You. I would think.
Cow.
Man, fuck these audience members.
Man, fuck bananas.
Fuck comedy.
Fuck, maybe bananas are just racist.
Maybe.
Man, fuck this podcast.
Listen.
You know what? Fuck anything with banana flavor. Cream pie.
Fuck this podcast.
Listen, Laffy people. Taffy.
Fuck banana splits.
Y'all come on back on Monday, y'all. We'll be
wafer.
Here for you guys. Hope you guys enjoyed today's podcast.
Fuck banana pudding.
Remember, you can probably catch most of us on the 17th at the
Big Hunt.
Catch most of us on
in
the 17th.
Arlington, Washington, D.C.
Well, when does that show start? I might be able to make it back up.
It's an early show.
It starts at 8, yeah.
It's an early show.
What I think we'll suggest to him is to bring in.
What are you doing, 2020?
To bring in Haywood and Reggie.
I think it was going
to
be 30-30-30.
So I'm going to suggest that he bring in Philippe, Haywood, and Reggie.
And then
because
they've been on the show.
Let them split up what little bit of time and we'll close it off.
Yeah.
I'm going to suggest
not sock puppets, by the way.
Not sock puppets. People who've been on the podcast.
I'm going to suggest that to them. Whatever money, just split that money up amongst them three ways.
Yeah, man.
And so that's going to be at the Big Hunt on April 17th. That's Friday.
Yes, sir.
Two Fridays from now, three Fridays from now.
Yeah, next week.
Something like that.
April 18th, I'm opening for James Davis's DVD taping in D.C.
Nice.
James. Martin Amini production.
Who's James Davis?
I think it's James Davis. Did I get his name wrong? Anyway, April 18th. I'll have that on my website eventually. I'm bad about
23rd, 24th, 25th. I'm at McGoobie's in Baltimore with Greer Barnes.
Nice.
And Josh Kadurda is opening.
Josh Kadurda.
You know, five shows, one on Thursday, two on Friday, two on Saturday. Come on through McGoobie's in Baltimore this month, 23rd, 24th, 25th. I guess I should tweet those out.
James Davis, out of LA.
I should start doing that.
I'm trying to get up there. I'm trying to get up at Easton Avalon Theater in Easton, Maryland as well. But I do have shows coming up. I have the Happy Buddha, the 10th, I believe, or 11th, I'm sorry. I'm DC Improv on the 10th. And I will be, I'm 17th and 18th. I'm at Liberty Labs in Fredericksburg, Virginia. That's why I can't do the three guys on the show.
Mm-hmm. Oh, April 20th. I'm at the New Deal Cafe in Maryland.
Don't act like you care. Come on.
I got to tell you why, but go ahead.
April 20th, I'm at the New Deal Cafe in Greenbelt, Maryland.
It's a money thing.
And, May 9th, I'm at the Avalon Theater in Easton, Maryland. So come check out those shows.
Absolutely.
Yeah, the Avalon Theater is great. You have a great time.
And May 10th, I'll be at the Arlington Draft House at the Stand Up for Pits benefit for Pit Bulls with Rebecca Corey. And she'll have her dog. I'm doing just a Sunday. She'll have her dog with her.
Okay. Is it only a Sunday show? Why are you doing just a Sunday?
She's doing Saturday at the Draft House, but Sunday is a special benefit show.
Mm-hmm.
And so Jason Duty, who's opening for her, she wanted some names of some other comics to put on the benefit.
Oh, okay.
So.
Well, you have a dog, so.
I do have a dog. Yeah. So we got that in common.
Yeah.
Man, fuck cats.
Yeah, fuck
bitch ass cats, nigga. I'm gonna own a platypus, nigga.
Cats.
I'm gonna give me a platypus and
oh my
shit.
God.
You know what I'm saying?
So listen, people.
Get a dodo bird, nigga.
Come on back on y'all, come on back on Monday. We'll be here for you guys. We hope you guys enjoyed today's podcast. As always, you enjoyed bringing it to you. One more shout out to Miss Liz Mealy. You guys follow her. M-I-E-L-E. Mealy. Liz. Mealy. She's great. Check her out. All right, y'all. Thanks so much. We had a great time with y'all today. I'm Randolph Terrence.
I'm Andy Klein.
And I'm Tim Miller.
We have three guys on.
Man, fuck this podcast.
It's
time for this podcast to be over.
It's about to be in.
And we are out.
The young and awful cross. They hung him on a cross. They hung him on a cross for me. lost. They hung him on a cross. They hung him on a cross for me. They whooped him up the hill. They whooped him up the hill. They whooped him up the hill for me. One day when I was lost, they hung him on a cross.